connecting the next generation. I've been really feeling the Lord has been taking me back to, in my devotional time, to the book of Judges. And who knows, maybe there'll be a bunch of messages that'll come out of there. One is already coming out of there. But Judges chapter 2, I want to talk about protecting the next generation. We've been blessed to watch the next generation, the young people, the youth camp, children's camp, and also at the Baptist camp. There's been numbers of our folks have been involved over at the Baptist camp, and they also had a youth camp going on, a children's camp going on, and some great reports that came from there as well. And so we do rejoice in the Lord and what He is doing. I'm going to start at Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and just get the front of your Bible, go in there about five or six or so, and you'll find the book of Judges. It says, after that generation died, this here is talking about Joshua as they went into the promised land. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things He had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them. And they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Asherah. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel. So He handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as He had warned, and the people were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. And yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors who had walked in obedience to the Lord's commands. Father, I just pray that, Lord, as we look at Your word today, that, Lord, You'd make that word alive into our hearts and into our lives here today. I pray that, Father, You would speak to Your people today. And, Lord, that You would encounter each one of us today through Your word. And that, Lord, there'd be that nugget of truth. That, Lord, would be the answer that we're looking for this very day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, being around the youth camp and being around the children's camp, it really was a time where both Judy and I expressed that it was good to kind of connect a little bit better with our youth and with our children, because many times I'm not in the youth service or I'm not in the children's services, and so having that opportunity just to get to know them a little bit better, be around them. But it was a real blessing just as to be like a pastor and to observe and to watch and just to be blessed watching our people involved, watching our people enter in, watching our people worship from the little children to our young people to even our adults that were touched by God during that camp time. And that was a real, real blessing for me. Maybe in many ways kind of being like a proud father that you got to look and see all the great things that God was doing. And so that was a real blessing to me. And as I was thinking about that next generation, I was thinking that, you know, I realized that there's a lot of things that are coming against the generation that is there today and our next generation, things that we've never experienced in our lives, things that we've never gone through that when we were being raised up as kids. And, of course, that also causes me to say I am blessed. I've been blessed of the childhood that I had, the raising up that I had, of a godly heritage that I have. And I really do rejoice in that. My wife and I, we both rejoice in that. But we realize that the generation today is a lot of them, they don't have that benefit. They don't have that blessing. And there's a lot more pressures that are facing them than what we're facing us as we grew up. And as I was thinking about that, and I was reading this passage of Scripture, it's kind of a sad passage of Scripture because it's a passage of Scripture that talks about that next generation, and they did not follow after the Lord. And that speaks to me because I don't want to see the next generation not follow the Lord. I want to see that next generation follow the Lord, experience greater things than even what I've experienced in my Christian walk. I want to see that next generation prosper and grow in God. And I believe that that's God's desire as well. You know, we've been really blessed in this church in so many ways. We've been seeing so many people that have been encountering God and experiencing God. You know, it was a beautiful testimony last week. A lady was sharing that she encountered God as she came into this church last week. And just different stories that you hear of people, how that God encountered, how God ministered to them as they came to this church. And we see that from the little children when they're back there, God's touching them, or on our Thursday nights where God is touching our children, or on a Wednesday night when God is touching our youth. You know, God is doing great things among our children and our youth. They are experiencing God. They're encountering God. And that is just so wonderful. And we need to see that, because I don't want to see this generation or the next generation lose out with God. And sadly, we could all probably say, if you've been a Christian long enough, you have probably seen, maybe you've come from a family where what I've been watching sometimes is where families that used to serve the Lord, that next generation fell away. But then the next generation after them came back to the Lord. And I've seen that many times in this area here, where God is calling back those generations that used to serve the Lord. And He's calling their children's children back to Him. And I don't want to see our people, any of our people, turn away from the Lord, or walk away from God, or not experience God. We want to see people experience God in this church from the very youngest to the very oldest. And so as we think about all those things, you know, we need to realize it does happen from time to time. There are, you know, I'm sure there's some of you that can maybe look at your children today, they're not serving the Lord. And that would grieve your heart. And I have a brother, he's not serving the Lord. Brought up in the same conditions as what I was, but he has chosen not to serve the Lord. And so we've seen that even in our own lives. And there's some way I believe we need to do to protect them and guard them so that that next generation does indeed serve the Lord. You know, the sad story is found in Judges 2:10, the very first verse we started with. And it says, after that generation died of Joshua that took over from Moses, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or even remember the mighty things He had done. I don't know about you. I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen in this church. I don't want to see that become a norm out there, that people start saying, well, that's just kind of the norm. You know, you serve God for a while and you fall away. No, sir, that is not a norm. You serve God your whole life. That is the norm. And that's what we want to preach and proclaim here in this church. And we want to see our generations that are met and that they experience the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I was reading this passage of Scripture, as you first read it, it's kind of like a negative passage of Scripture. But as I read that, I was seeing some things that I believe it shows us how we can help, or we can help protect that next generation, that they might indeed serve the Lord. And as I started looking at that, one of the first things that I saw there was that if we want to protect that next generation to serve the Lord, then we need to recognize the importance of our testimony, showing and telling people what God has done. There is power in our testimonies. And unfortunately, sometimes we can be very secretive, we can be very quiet, and God does good things for us, and we never bother telling anybody that God is doing good things for us. It happens even in our own church that, you know, God does something for you, and God ministers to you, and you don't say a word. You don't tell anybody that God did something for you. You need to be telling people what the Lord has done for you. And especially your children. Tell your children the things that God is doing in your life. Do not hide away from that. Do not be shy of that. Share with them that you're praying about something. Share with them that you've been asking God for something. Share with them that there was an answer that came. Because they need to know and to hear that God is still doing good things. You know, one of the tragedies that's out there sometimes in testimonies is that we share testimonies of the good old days. And I love the good old days. I like hearing stories. My dad, when he used to get together with some of his family, and they would start to share stories. Even as a very young person, I used to love sitting with all those old guys, and they would start sharing all these funny stories and things that happened. It was awesome. But sometimes it's like that in church. We share our stories. You know, 30 years ago, God touched me, and God ministered to me, and God did all these great things. But then we stop, and we don't have anything else to say. I think we need to be sharing. Sometimes the young people have seen that, and they said, well, I guess God doesn't want to move today then, because he's only moved 30 years ago. He's only moved 10 years ago. He's only moved 20 years ago. You know, I think in our testimonies, we need to keep our testimonies fresh. And if they're not fresh, then we need to experience a fresh touch from God, that we might have something fresh to share with those around us, that we might have something fresh to touch that next generation. I was talking with a pastor there a couple of weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I guess it would be, and he was sharing about being at our seniors group. And he just began to talk. He was starting to advertise our church to all the people that were out at the camp and saying what a great church this was and how wonderful it was to see that these seniors were coming together from these different denominations and coming together as one and worshiping the Lord. He said it was just beautiful. He was so impressed by that. We need to keep that freshness in our lives, that we have a testimony all the time, that our children see that God is not just a God of yesterday, but God is a God of today and a God of our future as well. So it's important that we share those testimonies. Something happened here in Judges 2:10. It says that, nor did they remember the mighty things that he did for Israel. Why didn't they remember? Did the parents forget to tell them? Did the parents go through a time where maybe they weren't experiencing God anymore, and so they stopped telling the stories of what God had done? I don't know what happened during that time for them in the book of Judges, but it seems as repeated over and over and over and over again that it shows that a generation would return to the Lord, but then in one generation, they would walk away. And there'd have to be another judge would have to come on the scene. Another judge would have to come, stir them up again, get them back to God again. And then they'd serve the Lord for another 40, 50 years. And then they would stop again. And friends, that's a terrible cycle. We don't want to see that happen here. We want to see the move of God continue and even intensify and become greater in the next generation and the generations that are even with us today. So the next generation, the young people, those children around you, they need to hear your testimony. You need to be sharing with them what God is doing in your life. You need to be telling them about things that you're praying about and how God has answered your prayer. You need to be telling them about stories of people in church getting saved. Don't go home and say nothing. Tell your children of the good things that God has done. Share your testimonies of what the Lord is doing so it might touch the generations that are to come. I think that's the first thing that we see, or that I see, as I look at this passage of Scripture. The next generation need to hear your testimonies. God is real. God answers prayer. God heals. God delivers. God saves. God forgives. God is still working today. God is still active in our lives today. And friends, if he's not active in your lives today, then you need a fresh touch. Come and seek a fresh touch from the Lord, that he might again give you a fresh testimony. I love fresh testimonies. You know, the testimonies of last week, they kind of get old. I like hearing fresh testimonies every day, every week of what God is doing. And so do they. So do they. They want to hear that God is moving in people's lives today. Secondly, I think we can protect that next generation by pointing out to them the need of a personal experience with God. To me, that's one of the most important things to me right now that I desire to see happen in this church, is that everybody that would come to this place would have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. They'd have a personal encounter with God. They would experience God for themselves. It says there back to that Judges 2:10, that generation grew up and they didn't acknowledge the Lord. They didn't remember the mighty things that he'd done. Obviously, they weren't experiencing anything that God was doing anymore. It was almost like God had died or something to them. There wasn't anything happening. Well, you know, my prayer is that people today and every generation today, they would experience God. You know, sometimes, you know, we think that just because I bring up my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, the Bible does tell me that they will follow God. But friends, we got to lead them further. That we need to lead to that place of the encounter of God. Your faith will not carry your children's faith. They need to experience God for themselves. And, you know, sometimes I see parents, you know, we get so busy and we get so occupied and we start showing our children, well, church isn't important. You don't need God. That's what we're telling them when we can't even be bothered to get out to church or do anything for God. We need to show them that it's important, because if we show them that, you know, having God here and there, that's fine. You know, the average person attending church today in an evangelical church is once every 3 weeks. That would be considered average or a good attender in the evangelical church of today. Sometimes that's because of work, but sometimes just because of people have other things to do. They got their lives prioritized by other things. And friends, we need to be leading our children to a place to experience God. You know, if you have children, bring them to children's church for Sunday. Bring them Thursday night. Get them involved in that Thursday night program. If you have young people, make sure they're there out for youth on Wednesday, because they need to experience God. They need to be in an atmosphere where God is touching them. Bring them to church. They need to be in church. It blows my mind today where so many parents are saying, well, I let my child decide what they want to do. Our society is so foolish today, we're letting our babies decide what sex they want to be. Foolishness, parents. You're in charge. God has given you a responsibility to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They need to experience God for themselves. Your faith will not carry them into heaven. It needs to be their own faith. Sadly, in this book of Judges, they didn't pass it on. Something happened. I'm not sure what really happened. There are some clues there of things that happened, such as the stubbornness of hearts and the hardness of hearts. But we need to be leading that next generation to a place where they will experience God. You know, you can't expect those children to serve the Lord just because you did. You need to lead them and get them that place that they experience God for themselves. Camp is a really good place to send kids. I've watched our young people. I was so blessed. Every night, about 3 hours long, they were all up here. They weren't sitting in the seats. They got out of their seats and they stood there until the time of the preaching came. And they stood right there in the front. They worshiped the Lord. They jumped, they danced, and hands raised up to the Lord. Some of the tears flowing down their faces. It was wonderful. Same with them little children that would worship the Lord. They could raise their hands unto the Lord. They could talk about things of the Lord. Wonderful. They need to experience God for themselves. And God is encountering people like I've never seen before in all my years as a Christian, or even some of the things I've read about. I see God encountering people and ministering to people like never before. Every week I hear a story of somebody new that's encountering God in this place. And I want to see that all the time. I want to see every person, young to old, and encountering the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to save that next generation. And the way you're going to say it is by leading them that they might experience God for themselves. Thirdly, in protecting that next generation, as I'm reading this passage, I believe we need to make them aware of the world and the temptations and the compromises that our world brings. Judges 2:12 says, they abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the Lord who brought them out of Egypt, and they went after other gods. They're worshiping the gods of the people around them. We need to be warning that next generation that, you know, not everything in this world is good. You know, we encourage people, oh, pursue everything you can get from the world, man. Get all you can from the world. Well, listen, there's some things out there you don't want. There are some things that you need to be aware of. There are some things that are tempting you. There are some things that are leading you astray. And there's a lot of Christians that are running to the world and they're being led astray. And they're falling away from God. That's happening. We need to be telling that generation. You know, as we look back here in the Old Testament, we see that they began to see what are the gods that you're serving around your place. Instead of looking to the Lord, they started looking, what's the society doing around us? Well, they're worshiping Baal, not God. Who was Baal? Well, Baal was the chief Canaanite storm god, leading deity of the pantheon of gods. His name was Hadad, son of Dagon, the god of rain and agriculture. Astra was the other goddess, goddess of the night, the goddess of fertility, love, and of war, goddess of the evening star, And a lot of degrading, immoral acts were happening under the worship of this god. And you know, we look at this whole issue of the gays issues and all those kinds of things of today, and like, that's old stuff. That's old stuff, man. They were doing it way back then in Bible days. As they were worshiping the Asherah, there was male prostitutes, female prostitutes. That was all happening years and years and years ago. Friends, we need to be warning the next generation that not everything out there in the world is good. There are a lot of temptations out there. There are things that you need to be aware of, you need to be careful of. So many Christians are just going gung-ho into the world, and then they're being drawn away from God as the world gets slowly, gradually pulls you away. And soon you're finding yourself that you're not even serving God anymore, and you're actually, to the other extent, you're serving the gods of this world. I felt as I was going through this message and praying here last night, that as we talk about Baal, you know, you need to be careful, you know, even like things like video games. That's kind of a weird thing as you're talking about a message to be thinking of video games. But you need to be careful of the video games that you play, young people, or I know adults play a lot of video games too. And you know, you take these various identities. Some of those identities are actually gods. And they're introducing the old gods back into our world today. And often they'll use video games, sometimes movies, to bring those gods back into prominence. Be very, very careful, especially of Baal and Dagon and Hadad. I just felt that there was somebody that you're in a video game, and I think it was Dagon that's one of those characters in there, and you just need to stop playing that game and throw that game out. So just a little added one there. But that next generation after Joshua, they didn't recognize the dangers of the world. And even when God came and he brought judges before them and prophets to them, they still didn't do it. And see, they ended up growing up doing what was right in their own eyes. And we see a society today, and now that we got a liberal government, and it's even becoming more stronger, that we're passing all these new laws because we're doing what is right in our own eyes. Seems good to me. What's wrong? We have no moral compass. That's what has happened in our nation of Canada. We've taken away the moral compass of the Word of God. We've never replaced it with anything else. We've only replaced it with what we think is right in our own eyes. And the Bible says in those last days, that's what's going to happen. That people will follow their own desires. They'll do the things that they think are right in their own eyes. They will forsake the Lord. They'll become enemies of God. And friends, that's happening right now. A lot of people are losing their moral compass, and they're serving other gods. They've walked away from God, and they're serving this world. Not everything in the world is good. Not everything society does is good. Please do not be following other Christians who are trying to bring you back into the world. And I see a lot of Christians that are doing that. They're condemning other people to hell because they're bringing back them back into the world, participating in the things of this world, and soon they're not even serving the Lord anymore. James chapter 4:4 says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you need to you will make yourself an enemy of God." That's pretty strong language. And yet, in Christianity, we're becoming more and more like the world instead of separating ourselves and showing to the world that we are different and that we have different morals, we have different lifestyles, and that God is calling us to live a different life. So we need to protect our next generation. We need to make them aware of the snares and the traps, the temptations that are out there. We need to make them aware of the tactics of the enemy. We need to be on guard for them, because this world and this culture is becoming more and more pagan, anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Bible. Very, very much so. Any other religion that does anything, we're standing in defense of them. Oh, they're not all that bad. If a Christian does something, then the whole world goes crazy and say, oh, that's religion, we need to get rid of that. Friends, we're living in the last days. We need to be careful. We need to be telling the next generation, protecting them, making them aware that their eyes can be opened, that they can see the dangers that are in the world, because the world has crept into the church. It's not creeping into the church. It's already been there. It's already there. And it's getting lower and lower and lower standards in the church. We need to guard against this. We need to proclaim the Word of God is still God's Word is truth. God's Word is that moral compass that we all need in our lives. So in protecting that next generation, we need to be warning them, telling them about the world and what is in that world and the temptations that are there. Then fourthly, as I read that passage, I saw, well, if I want to protect that next generation, then I also need to remind that next generation that there is a judgment. There are consequences to sin. See, most Christians live today as if there's no consequences to sin. It's all grace, man. You're all covered by grace. Don't worry about doing sin. It's all covered. Now, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm extremely thankful for the grace of God, because the grace of God teaches me and tells me that God doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. Because if God treated every one of us in this room the way our sins deserve, we wouldn't even be here. We'd be toast. He would have sent fire from heaven, and it'd be over for every one of us. But God doesn't treat us that way. He is gracious to us. He is loving towards us. I'm also glad that God forgives, that God forgives my sin. I'm glad that when I do something stupid and I do something wrong against God and I sin against the Lord, that I know I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, that intercedes on my behalf, and He stands in the gap for me. I'm glad for that. I rejoice in that God forgives sin. But I need to repent of my sins. It's not just automatic. I need to repent of my sins. And the same thing with the grace of God, that as we receive the grace of God, as we receive the forgiveness of God, we still have a responsibility to walk in God's ways. It doesn't mean you got a free slate to do whatever you want. No, now you're responsible. Now you need to walk in the ways that God would have you walk. Listen to what it says here in Judges 2:14. It says, as these people, as they walked away from the Lord and they abandoned God, it said, this made the Lord burn with anger over Israel. And so He handed them over to the raiders who stole the possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around them, and they were no longer able to resist them. There are consequences to sin. If you want to go down that road and walk away from God, I'm going to tell you something. There will be some consequences to sin that will be very uncomfortable for you. It might seem fun at first, and it usually is. But let me tell you, it's only fun to draw you in. That's how the enemy works. He makes it fun. He draws you in. And then once he's got you in, then he deceives you further. There are consequences to your sin. There will be a day that you will give an account before your God. Romans 14:10 says, remember, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. There are two judgments that are going to be in heaven. One of them is going to be for the wicked, and the other one's going to be for the righteous. But even as Christians, you're still going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to give an account all by yourself. You're not going to be able to blame anybody and say, oh, it was those people over there. It was those Christians over there. No, you will give an account for yourself. And you'll have to acknowledge you did it because you wanted to do it. There are consequences to sin. There is a judgment to avoid. That needs to be told to that next generation. There's a lot in this generation today that they're not even sure that even hell exists, because we don't talk about hell. Hell's not mentioned anymore, right? Well, there is a hell. There is a judgment to avoid. There is a hell to avoid. It's not just all about heaven. The Bible actually talks about hell more than it talks about heaven. So So we need to be telling that next generation that there is a judgment. You need to be aware of that. You need to be ready for that, that one day you're going to stand before the Lord. There is a day of reckoning that is coming. That's going to help that next generation. Then lastly, in protecting that next generation, we need to teach them to listen, to be listening to the voice of God. Does God speak today? Yes, He does. Does God speak through His Word? Yes, He does. I'm thankful that God speaks. There's the revealed Word of God right there. I'm glad that He speaks. He also speaks to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give us those nudgings and those little sayings at times, and He'll speak into our lives at times. We need to be sensitive to be listening to the voice of the Lord. It's interesting as you go on the book of Revelations, it talks about the seven churches. And was it saying that you need to be heeding what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church? So even as you get to the book of Revelation, you get into all this end time speculation. What's he saying is the most important? That we hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. So God is speaking today. Now, unfortunately for Israel, they hardened their hearts. They became stubborn and they didn't want to listen to the Lord anymore. Even after they sent judges and prophets, they would not listen. Judges 2:17 says, "Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors who had walked in obedience to the Lord's command." Let's not make that mistake. Let's not make that mistake to see that our children would walk away from the Lord. That we would be sensitive to the voice of God ourselves, and that we would teach our children and our children's children to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, because God is speaking today. I believe He's speaking more than He's ever spoken before. But if we start entertaining stubbornness, if we start entertaining rebellion or harden our hearts, then friends, we're going to be on a bad road going nowheres. We need to be a people that are listening to the voice of God, listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as God does desire to speak in our lives. We want to protect that next generation. We need to lead them to that place and provide those atmospheres where God can speak to them. And you, as you already know, that younger generation, they don't like doing things the way we like to do them. You know, I was thinking that they probably forget to turn on the lights. So usually when we speak, we try to remember, remind people, say, turn on the lights when they speak so they can actually read their Bibles. But the young, they like it dark. They don't like any lights on. But friends, just provide an atmosphere. Who cares? Just put on an atmosphere where they're going to be open and receptive, and they're going to receive from the Lord, and they're going to hear from God. You know, their music is a bit different than what our music may be. Like really, if it's going to minister to them to that place that they're going to open up their hearts to God and begin to listen to God, man, let them play their different music. We need to bring them to that place that they will hear from God for themselves. And friends, that's one of the biggest things that really does help people when they get that encounter with God, when they hear God speak to them into their situation. You know, today we kind of, anyone tells us what to do today. Years ago, you know, it used to be like that if a minister told you to do something, you just did it. And some of them abuse that authority and told, you know, start doing wrong things. And so today when a minister says something, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, I'll think about what you're saying. I'll think about it." But friends, that's why I'm saying, I trust that you hear from God, that God puts something in your heart that you don't necessarily hear me, but you hear the voice of the Spirit saying, "Yeah, that's true. And I'm speaking to you today about that situation." Listen. We need to bring that next generation to a place that they will listen. So friends, as we close this morning, I just want to encourage you that we do have an awesome responsibility to inspire that next generation to follow the Lord. I don't want to see any more Christians going backwards. I don't want to see other Christians that are leading people astray. And I know that's a temptation that's out there, and I see it. I want to see in this church that we would raise up a generation after generation after generation, if the Lord should tarry, that will serve the Lord, that will be fully committed to the Lord, that will accomplish things far greater than anything that we have done. I pray that for my sons and my daughter, that they would do greater things than what I have done, that they would prosper more than what I would prosper, that they would get closer to God than what I did, that God would use them in greater ways than what He's even using me. Now, I also say, well, don't forget about me either, God, because I want to be part of this too, but I want to see them blessed. I want to see that, you know, these young people here, they're still sitting up here in the front. I want to see these young adults, that God would use them in such powerful ways. And I believe that God is going to use them. Like Peyton there, I know you're going off to Bible college. I believe God's going to use you. I can see it in your heart as you're praying for those other kids. You know, and Jeremy there, just seeing him at camp there. God wants to use you guys. And Alyssa, like, God wants to use you. He wants to touch you and use you to touch many people even more than what you see your parents have done. God's wanting to use that next generation. I want to do what I can do to protect them, to help them, to lead them, to direct them, that they might experience their full potential and they might be God chasers that will lead other generations unto God. We need to do that. God has great things in store for the next generation. We need to protect them. We need to teach them. I want to see that next generation grow and encounter God. I want to see that happen in this church more and more and more. And I am so blessed. I am so thankful. I thank the Lord pretty much on a daily basis. And I say, thank you, God, for encountering people. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to that individual. Thank you, Lord, for touching that person over here. Thank you, Lord, that you were ministering to them. And thank you, Lord, when I see somebody crying and weeping before God. Man, those things at times are precious and they're wonderful. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be shy that, you know, you're crying or you're weeping before God. Lots of people do that. Man, that just means you're being touched by God. That's wonderful. Lord, I just invite you more to touch me even more, to empower me even more. Jesus, I come to the end of this message here, Lord. I know you have a heart for that next generation, for the young people, for the children. I thank you, God, for all that you're doing because you're ministering to all ages in this church. And God, we want to see that continue. We want to see it actually, Lord, increase because it's not enough. I want more, God. I want to experience more. I want to lead this church that they would experience all that God would have for them. So, Lord, help me to lead them. Help me to lead them. And Lord, as parents here today, God, help us to lead our children. Help us, Lord, to encourage our children. Help us, Lord, to inspire our children that they will serve the Lord. God, I pray that you'd be our young people, Lord Jesus. We thank you for Pastor Adam and Crystal, Lord. We just want to pray your blessing over them, Father. We just pray a greater impartation as we, Lord, go through this summer and coming into our new fall. Lord, that you're just going to use them even more and use these young people even more. That, Lord, that this house will be filled with young people, Lord. That it will fill this whole place. That, Lord, it would just be a gathering place of young people seeking the Lord. Lord, we pray over our children. And, Lord, as we think of our Sunday mornings and we think of our Thursday nights, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would use Anita there, Father, and Dawn. Lord, that you'd use Jana on the Thursday night and all the other workers there on Thursday nights. Lord, that you would just begin to pour out your Spirit upon your children. Lord, that our children would experience miracles. Lord, that as they pray for people that, Lord, they'd be healed. Lord, as they pray and share that people would be saved in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we're praying for that next generation that they will serve you. They'll be God chasers. They will accomplish more than what we have accomplished, Lord. We just want to bless them this morning. We want to say thank you for them this morning. And God, I pray that in every one of us, Lord, that maybe are older or grandparents or parents, or Lord, maybe we're just older in age and we don't have a family. Well, we're a family of God, so we do have family. And they're all around us. And I pray that, Lord, that you would inspire us and help us, Lord, to speak words of encouragement, words that are going to help them, words that are going to direct them. I pray you give us words from heaven for them, that, Lord, that we would encourage them to serve the Lord. I pray for the youth of this church, Lord. Actually, Lord, I want to start with the young adults. That, Lord, that as they're off into university, as some of them have started working now, entering the workforce, God, I pray that you would use them. I pray that you would inspire them. I pray that, Lord, you give them opportunities to share about Christ. I pray that, Lord, as they go off to those universities that, Lord, are often a negative experience. It's a place where often Christians fall away from God. That, Lord, there'd be a full turnaround. That, Lord, there'd be a place that people start returning to the Lord. And, Lord, even as universities were first created, they were created by Christians. They were not created by the world. They were created by Christians. And so, Lord, we pray for that heritage to be restored and to come back into our universities and to use our young adults as they go in Jesus' name. We pray for our young people, Lord, in our schools, that, Lord, they'd have testimonies. Lord, that they'd be drawing other friends to Jesus Christ. Lord, that the world would start looking at them and saying, I want to have what they have. And I pray an impartation, Lord, of your spirit, of your power to come upon them, Lord, that you're going to begin to use them in mighty ways. I pray for our children, Lord, those little children, Lord, they're so innocent, but God, you can use them greatly, and you are using them, and we pray that, God, you're going to use our children, Lord, to touch even adults, Lord, that there'll be messages that'll come even to the little children that will speak to some adult that's going to cause them to come to Christ. Use our children, Lord, even to be people that will go out and heal those that need to be healed. So, Lord, we're praying a blessing over the next generation. Lord, we're believing and coming in agreement with you that you desire to do even greater things with this next generation. And so, Lord, we rejoice in that. We're thankful for that. But, Lord, we also ask, as those that are older here today, God, help me to be that example. Help me to be that encourager. Help me to be that person that inspires that next generation. Lord, even down to young people, help those young people to inspire the children that are behind them. Help the children to inspire the little ones that are behind them. So, Lord, that you would use each one of us to inspire the next generation, to protect that next generation, that there'd be generation after generation after generation that will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we also want to pray that over some of our children, Lord, that have turned away from you. Even though we've raised them in the ways of the Lord, Lord, they have chosen and they have hardened their hearts and they've walked away. Father, we call them back in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word says that if you'd raise a child, they would continue. So, Lord, we're calling them back in Jesus' name. We're praying that, Lord, that you would have a visitation with them in Jesus' name. That, Lord, that we would hear testimonies even this week where the children will call the parents this week. And Lord, they begin to share with them and begin to say, Mom or Dad, I want you to pray for me. I'm going through something. And or that, Lord, they'd even come to that place and give their hearts back to you. But Lord, we call back all those kids, Lord. Those children that are now adults even. Lord, back into your kingdom in Jesus' name. We call back spouses. That, Lord, maybe because of one thing or another, there's been separations, there have been divorces. Lord, there's been a walking away from God. Lord, we call back spouses. We call back spouses, Lord, that we're, Lord, they're just not serving you, and you know, there's only one spouse serving you. Lord, I know there's numbers here today that, Lord, it's only one that's serving you. God, you didn't desire, you said the two shall become one flesh. And so, Father, we're calling forth the other half to come and encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to see the generations touch, all of them, from old to young. But we are praying, God, use us, help us, strengthen us, empower us, that we might protect the next generation. Because, Lord, we want to see a generation rise up, even in this church and community and area, that'll be far greater than what we could ever imagine. Lord, we also are believing for a great restoration, Lord, of souls that have been lost. Lord, throughout the generations, even around here, Lord, as I think of many moves of God that have happened, even around this area. And Lord, we just call those people back, that Lord, that the backslider, we call them back in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, there'd be a restoring of generations that have walked away. Restore them, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So this morning as we close, and I know that's kind of, we've kind of already prayed what we need to pray there. Maybe there's something else going on in your life and you're just saying, man, I could use some prayer or have someone pray with you, then we'd be very happy to do that. You don't have to be a member of this church or a regular attender of this church. You just have to be here. If you're here today, you're welcome to receive prayer. And as we close, the musicians come back and just give us a closing number. I know many of us leave at that time, and once they start playing, you are free to go. If you have to go, there's some coffee there. Encourage you maybe to have a little bit of fellowship. But if you need further prayer, come join us here at the front. We'll gladly pray with you. But we're believing for that next generation. I'm believing for great things right here in this church with our young people, with our young adults, with our children. I'm believing good stuff for us adults too. I know I'm getting up older there too. Next October, I actually qualify for our seniors group, the 55 and over. So I'm getting older up there too, and I'm still believing God for good things for me. And I'm still believing good things for our seniors as well. And so I'm not trying to say God's not going to move there. I am jealous for more of God. I want more of God. I see what God is doing in some of that younger generation. I'm figuring, you ain't going to beat me, man. I'm striving there. You know, Mac has always been that way. He's not going to sit back and just watch. I'm going to be right in there, and I might even beat you to the altars or whatever needs to take place. That's me too, man. I want more of him. I want to experience it all for God. God's got good things in store. You know, we see some stuff that's happening in our world today. Maybe it doesn't look all that great. But I want to tell you something. In the midst of all that, there is a stirring that is going on, that God is stirring people's hearts and lives and drawing them to himself. That even though you see on the news some bad stuff, I want to tell you there's some very good stuff. And there's many, many, many coming to Christ. And let's look forward to what God's going to do. Let's keep praying for our generations, that God's going to touch them. God's going to move within their lives. You know, pray for your prime minister. He's just a young guy. There's a lot of things he doesn't know quite yet. But you know what? His heart can be open. Pray for that. Pray for your prime minister. The Lord would just touch Justin Trudeau. Begin to move in his life. As I tell you, he gets on fire for God, that can change a whole nation. Let's be praying for that in Jesus' name. Bless you. Thank you for coming to the Lord. Let's to the house of the Lord. Let us stand together as we close. And join in this song if you have to go. Bless you. Thank you for coming. And if you want prayer, we have lots of people here that will pray for you, and we'd be very happy to do so. Bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow.